Is Vanga Shasi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Anantakota Vaishnava Mukhi. Iskan Founder Charis Vanga Shri Prabhupada Ki. Prabhupada Nandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Te Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharane Nira Vishesha Srinivari Aschachade Satane. Hare Krishna. This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhi Lila Chapter 11, text 97, 99, is it 99? 96 to 100. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya So word meanings for text number 96, which we'll chant together, then we can just read through the rest. Aiche such prema, ecstatic love. Aiche nitya, such dancing. Aiche hari dvani, such vibration of the chanting of the holy name. Kahan, anywhere. Nahideki, I have never seen. Aiche such. Kahan, anywhere. Now he's saying, I never heard. Ache prema, ache nitya, ache hari tvana.
Ache prema, ache nitya, ache hari
tvana. Kaha nahi deki, ache kaha nahi suni. Ache prema, ache nitya, ache hari tvana. Kaha nahi deki aiche, kaha nahi suni. Aiche prema, aiche nitya, aiche hari dana. Kaha nahi deki aiche, kaha nahi suni. Translation purport by Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And I do believe this is Maharaj Pratapuruja speaking. And we recall that he is watching the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their kirtan in Puri. I've never before seen such ecstatic love, nor heard the vibration of the holy name of the Lord chanted in such a way, nor seen any such dancing during Sankirtan. Report. Because the temple of Lord Jagannath is situated at Jagannath Puri, many devotees from all parts of the world came to perform Sankirtan in glorification of the Lord. All these devotees were certainly seen and heard by Maharaj Pratapuruja, but he even admits that the kirtan performed by the associates of the Lord was unique. He had never before heard such sankirtan nor seen such attractive features manifest by the devotees. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should go to India during the birthday ceremony of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Mayapur and perform sankirtan congregationally. This will attract the attention of all the important personalities in India, just as the beauty, bodily luster, and sankirtan performance by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the attention of Maharaj Pratapuruja. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were unlimited during the Lord's presence on this planet. But anyone who is pure in life and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be understood as a Nitya Siddha associate of the Lord. Text 97. You can read together. Atacharya kahe e labhara vachana chaitanya shishti e prema sankirtana. Sarvabhachacharya replied, "This sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of the Lord known as prema sankirtan, congregational chanting in love of Godhead." Text 98. Avatari Chaitanya Kala Dhamma Pachamana Kalita Dhamma Krishna Sankirtana. In this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to preach the religion of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the religious principle for this age. Text 99. Sankirtana yagya thame kaha avana seta sumeda aratani hatha jana. Anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. One who does not do so must be considered a victim of this age and bereft of all intelligence. Purport. Rascals propose that anyone can invent his own religious process, and this proposition is condemned herein. If one actually wants to become religious, he must take up the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The new meaning of religion is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6-19-22. Dharmam tashakshad bhagavat pranihitam navaya vidu rasayo napi devaha nasidya mukya asura manushya kutascha vidya dana charanadaya swam bo nara shambhu kap Kumara Kapila Manu, Palaro Janako Bhishmo, Bali Vyasakir, Bayam, Dvadasite, Yad Manu, Mano, Dharma Bhagavatam, Bata, Uyam, Visudam, Durbudam, Yam Vijatam, Mittam, Anuste, Etavan, Eva Lokesmin, Punsha Dharma, Parasmita, Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tannama Granadi V. The purport of these verses is that Dharma or religion cannot be manufactured by a human being. Religion is the law or code of the Lord. Consequently, religion cannot be manufactured even by great saintly persons, demigods, or siddhamukhyas. And what to speak of asuras, human beings, vijidharas, charanas, and so on. The principles of Dharma, religion, come down in the Parampara system, beginning with 12 personalities, namely Lord Brahma, the great Saint Nara, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, King Janaka, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. The principles of religion are known to these 12 personalities. Dharma refers to the religious principles by which one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma is very confidential, uncontaminated by all material influence, and very difficult for ordinary men to understand. However, if one actually understands Dharma, he immediately becomes liberated and is transferred to the kingdom of God. Bhagavata Dharma, or the principles of religion enunciated by the Parampara system, is the supreme principle of religion. In other words, Dharma refers to the science of Bhakti Yoga, which begins by the novices chanting the holy name of the Lord, the Namaganadivi. In this age of Kali, it is recommended in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. In the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the method of religion approved by all Vedic scriptures. In the next text of this Chaitanya Charitamrita from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, it is further stressed. Text 100, Krishna Varanam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parashadam Yagna Sankirtanaya Kraya Yajantihi Sumedasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport for an explanation of this verse referred to Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 52. Hare Krishna. That's the religious practice for this age. Hare Krishna. Very interesting. In Tamil, verse says, we always find if we pick up Srila Prabhupada's books and read them, we find they're always timely and relevant. Yesterday, there was a very interesting nice program at the Bhaktivinoda Academy. It was Grandparents' Day. And so, all the grandparents came there. And the students in the older class, in particular the students in the older class, they had prepared a list of questions to ask all these old people that came into their classroom yesterday. And so Tama Hartley was there. I'm not saying he's the only old person. But Tama Hartley was there, and he got asked a very interesting question. It's relevant to the subject matter that we have here today. One of the students asked him what was his greatest fear for the future of this movement. And he said that, I'll paraphrase, he said that his greatest fear was that somehow or another the movement would be swayed from the path, swayed from the true and clear path of Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that the practices either became watered down or deviated in some way, changed in some way, and thus the potency lost. The potency lost, as we're reading here today in these verses. It's not that asuras, vijaharas, human beings can change the path of Dharma. And if they do, obviously, then difficulty arises. So I appreciated what Tama Hakuru said, that this is a great danger, and how we have to be careful about how to do this. Because it is special. In the first purport we read today, we saw how Maharaj Bhaktapuja was particularly attracted by the Sankirtan performed by the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was different somehow. Same thing, but it was different somehow. Many groups had come from all over the world and done Sankirtan, and Maharaj Bhaktapuja had seen them. But he noted that this performance was different. It was special. And in Prabhupada and the purport, he gives half the purport to that, and on the other hand, he starts talking about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, us, all of us. And how our kirtan should also be special. Hadanam Sankirtan, I think Chandrasekhar wrote the end of his kirtan, he said, Nigadana Hadanam Sankirtan. Did you say that?
Yeah.
So in the chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma and Kali Yuga all the time. But there's something special about the high name in this Kali Yuga that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in. Praying Hadanam Sankirtan. Chanting in love of Godhead. So it's special. And we're instructing them in a special way. And if we change that, then Tamaha spirit becomes true. Now, so what do we mean? How do we go about this? Well, before we even change, let's look at what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sang one bhajan, very nice, Sudha Bhakatam. Now, in that bhajan, he describes, so let's see what it says here. Madanga bhajya sanita mana avasara sada jache gaura bihita kirtana suni ananda hridaya nache. My mind always begs for the opportunity to hear the music of the madanga. And this is the important sentence here. Upon hearing the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Gaurachandra, my heart dances in ecstasy. So there's some kind of special kirtan ordained by Lord Gaurachandra. And only hearing that kind of kirtan, what does he say? Has his heart dance in ecstasy. So other kinds of kirtan that are not ordained by Lord Chandra don't make his heart dance and kirtan the same way. It's not just that anything goes. It's not just that anything goes. But it has to be the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Chaitanya. And in the song book, they have a little asterisk there. They have a little asterisk. And that asterisk refers you to a note at the bottom of the page. So I'll just read that note. It says, the congregational chanting instituted by Lord Chaitanya is full of the conclusions of pure bhakti. It is completely devoid of all elements opposing pure bhakti and is free from rasa-bhasa, or overlapping mellows. In this connection, see Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchit Lila 597-100. So you know what I did when I read that? I went to Anchit Lila 5, text 97-100. So I'm going to read those to you. Translation, if there were a hint that transmitted mellows overlapped in a manner contrary to the principles of the bhakti cult, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate it and would become very angry. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not hear anything before Sri Dhanadhar heard it first. The Lord made this etiquette a regulative principle. Bhagavan Acharya submitted to Sri Dhanadhar Goswami. A good Brahmin has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, And if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had specific things that he wanted to hear and he didn't like to hear. And it has to do with this, the mellows, the mood that goes into the chanting. It's important. It's important. And Srup Dhanavar, his intimate associate, was there to sort of filter things that came in so that kirtans not ordained by Lord Gaurachandra wouldn't become prominent. So we have to be careful about that. Now, in our line, our disciplic succession, we have Narottam Das Thakur. And one thing we know about Narottam Das Thakur from the history, particularly from Bhakti Ratnakar, is that he inaugurated the first Gopinath celebration. And do you know what happened at that celebration? When Pancha Tattva appeared, that's one thing that happened. Well, why did they appear?
He introduced a new type of kirtan
that was obviously authorized, obviously pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's Chandrasekhar who said, Pancha Tattva appeared there in the kirtan. Someone's got a nice little picture of B.B. Govinda Maharaj leading kirtan, and they put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the picture. And that illustrates an article that talks about this Kaitari festival. Now, at the Kaitari Gama during this festival, we introduced a new type of kirtan, but I've been saying for the last 5-10 minutes here that, you know, you can't do that. It's not bona fide to introduce something new. So how is it that Narottam Das Thakur was able to introduce something new? Obviously, what he introduced is pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so I wanted to find out, well, what is it? What is that new kirtan? You said he introduced a new type of kirtan. When we hear there's a new type of kirtan, what was new about it? What was special about it? How is it different than others? So I found some things here. I don't know if others may know more, but I'll just read what I found. Let's see. With his sweet voice, Narottam Das began a wonderful kirtan. His chanting filled the heavens and brought down tears of prema from the eyes of the devotees, who were all sporting in the ocean of ecstasy. In the midst of their kirtan, the magnificent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and all his personal associates appeared to join the sankirtan. With his sweet voice, Narottam Das began a wonderful kirtan. His chanting filled the heavens, as I wrote that. I do have something about this here. For the first time, the festival featured many kirtan styles which integrated the glorification of Lord Chaitanya with the glorification of Lord Krishna and his pastimes. So that's one thing that was special about it. It featured many kirtan styles which integrated the glorification of Lord Chaitanya with the glorification of Lord Krishna and his pastimes. Lokanath Swami wrote something on this, so he gave a lecture on this too, so what did he describe? Narottam Das led an ecstatic kirtan. Vaishnavas were playing musical instruments, touching each other's feet. They were singing in kirtan with right raga and right bhava. How can we describe this kirtan? With right raga and right bhava.
So both of these things indicate the feelings of love. Right, Baba? Right, Raghun? Right, Baba? As well as about glorification of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna's pastimes. This is what I've found in a brief look about what was special about this kirtan. It had to do with the mood, the same as that section we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita Chalila. If the mood wasn't right, if the relationships weren't right, if it was overlapping mellows, then Lord Chaitanya didn't. He rejected that kind of thing, type of thing. And so kirtan, it appears that Narottam Das Thakur's kirtan was the same kind of thing. And so this is a concern. How to maintain that and not have other elements come in is important for us. It's important for us now. And I have personal experience also how Srila Prabhupada was sort of, he was very particular about these things as well. How the devotees chanted and danced. If the mood wasn't right, Prabhupada didn't like it. We were in Chicago one summer, I don't know if it was 75 or 76. But the Prabhupada was there and the devotees were dancing in kirtan. And they were dancing like the twist, you know? They were dancing like that. And Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He was in the Vyasthan and he stopped the kirtan. Not like this, you know? Like this. He didn't like, I mean, obviously the devotees were dancing in ecstasy, wanting to please Prabhupada, please the deities. Everyone was happy when Prabhupada was there. The spiritual world was wonderful. But we weren't doing it right, you know, not like this, you know. So Prabhupada stopped the kirtan and changed how the devotees, because it made a difference. It makes a difference. That's the point we're trying to make. It makes a difference. It has to be done in the right mood. I guess maybe this was your, you know, sense gratification or something as he taught. So that was important. Another time in Mayapur, you know, this was 77, nothing much used to happen for the devotees on Gaur Purnima in those days. It wasn't like now, where there's hundreds of thousands of guests coming and everything. Mainly it was the devotees on a real festival site. And so they had arranged a kirtan kind of contest. It was kind of a contest. And so all the different groups of devotees came in. They broke down according to the temples. We were in the library party, so the library party, we had an entry, and we were at a Dhammadharma party, we had an entry in this temple and that temple. And they were judges, and we were the kirtan. We were judging in the kirtan. And so they had all the ISKCON devotee groups were doing that. And they had invited other local kirtan groups also to participate. And so when Prabhupada heard, particularly the other groups, the groups in local there in West Bengal, and we heard them chanting. Everyone was chanting Hare Krishna, but when he heard them chanting, he said, "Stop this. They're simply chanting for money." In other words, he could detect, you know, although they were chanting Hare Krishna, he could hear what he heard was they're chanting for money. That's the mood that was there. So he stopped it. Stop this. It was almost like, why would you organize this thing? You know, it's a crazy kind of thing. And so he stopped it, and so those were two instances when I was personally, and there were many others. I think Hare Krishna tells a story once when he was Prabhupada's secretary and Prabhupada was in Paris, not in Paris, at the Mayapur in France. And Prabhupada was upstairs in his room and they were having a kirtan downstairs and Prabhupada was doing his things and the secretaries were doing their things and all of a sudden Prabhupada said, go down and stop the kirtan. So go down and stop the kirtan. Do you hear what they're chanting? And there was some slight, you know, we're devoted to chanting Hare Krishna, I guess. But there was something not quite right about how they were saying or pronouncing or something. So Prabhupada said, go down and stop it immediately. And so there are many stories like that where Prabhupada emphasized it has to be done right according to mood and not for any material purpose. And so these things are important. And I bring them up not just because it's relevant to the verses we have here today, but just recently, they have a Kirtan Mela in Mayapur every year. So the Kirtan Mela was there this year, and some of the senior sannyasi GBC members, they didn't like the way it was happening. They didn't like the chant, the way that they were chanting, and the mood. I mean, everything was chanting Hare Krishna, but the mood wasn't, according to them, correct. And so they didn't go. And there's much discussion, at least amongst the GBC conference, about the chanting and how it was or wasn't, in the right mood and expressions. I'm not here and I'm trying to pass judgment on one another. I'm just saying that these things matter. And they matter even today. This just took place a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It matters how you chant, what we chant. I mean, years ago, again back in the 70s, Lokanath Swami used to talk about the ladies' kirtan. Well, Hare Krishna, and then Rama, so Krishna and Rama, the names of ladies, isn't it? Krishna, instead of Krishna. Krishna is his name, is Draupadi's name. So we were chanting the tune Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We chanted Krishna, we chanted Draupadi. Bhagavan Swami has always been in the thing about the correct pronunciation. He's written a book now. How to pronounce Sanskrit. Well, I need to take that book and study it. But it matters, how we pronounce, and then there's questions about Ramo, Ramo, instead of Rama. And so, these things matter and are relevant to us today. So I think we need to always be aware of these things. And therefore, the GBC, we have what we call a Kirtan Standards Committee. Now, Kirtan Standards Committee sometimes gets criticized for, or the GBC gets criticized for some of the things that we do. For instance, we put out a statement a few years ago about how Radharani's name should not be chanted so much, and so people had a ball with that one, GBC says don't chant Radharani's name. Because the point was is that repeated chants, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. And so GBC has to stand up and say, well, don't do that. And then everyone laughs. So GBC, they're saying, don't chant Radharani's name. But, there's standards. There's ways to do these things. They're not a subject to realism. They have to be according to the Shastras. Otherwise, it's not pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And so we have to be careful. And not only in Kirtan, but in a number of ways. Another thing that's come up on the GBC conference recently is about, and since tomorrow's Snan Yatra, I'll bring it up, is about breaking the coconut before the Rath Yatra starts. Somebody asked the question, where does this come from? Where is this in Shastra? That the coconut is broken, because somebody was breaking the coconut and they were giving it to the devotees to eat. And then someone said, no, you don't break the breaking the coconut is where all the inauspicious things go, so you shouldn't eat that. So then the whole question came, where did this come from anyway? Where is this in Shastra? And then asking all kinds of people, asking, well, some Bhakti Chumaraj knows, he knows Hari Bhakti Vilas, he can, Bhakti Chumaraj wrote back, I don't know anything where this came from, it's not in Hari Bhakti Vilas. What are you doing? You're breaking the coconut. Where did that come from? And then where did that come from? Where did a lot of things we do come from? I think we need to know. Because otherwise things become introduced. There's a famous humorous story about a bell and a cat. You know, some yoga taking place years ago, and the cat was causing some disturbance, so they belled the cat or put the cat, tied up the cat or something. But that became a ritual, and then over the years, that's what, before you do a sacrifice, you had to tie up the cat. Why? So these kind of things, when introduced, then they become rituals, and the plan goes out. So we need to be careful about these things. I mean, even when we break the coconut, we should try to find out why it is we're doing that. And there may be some reason. Again, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying we should know what we're doing, that's all. We should be able to tie it back to our sampradaya. We should tie it back to Srila Prabhupada. And this way, you know, we're safe. And we're doing things that are pleasing, we know that are pleasing, because they're coming in Parampara. Not that they're nice, interesting ceremonies or whatever. So these are some thoughts that I've had on the verse today. Yes, Madame Mindful.
Thank you for enlightening us on that. Could you, what was the conclusion of the Ramos? Because that's something that we hear from time to time here, and I was always wondering, what was the conclusion on that? Just like with the coconut, was there a conclusion on the coconut that is to be stopped until it gets authorized?
Or? The discussion is still going on, and again, I'm not here just to give edicts, you know, I mean, I'm just bringing up that we need to find out. I think that there must be some explanation where it comes from, and finding it out is something that we might want to take some impetus to do to make sure that it's not just a ritual introduced from something else that's not in our sampradaya.
That was the coconut. How about the Ramos?
I heard a funny story about the Ramos also. Apparently, devotees were chanting Ramo, and another cultured gentleman was criticizing me. Why are you saying Ramo? You shouldn't be saying Ramo, it's Rama. And he was making a big point about it. You're in bona fide, you're this and that, you're lectures or whatever. And then somebody from his sampradaya was there. And he said, well, actually, it's Sri Ramaha. Not what you're saying. And so, his whole thing about criticizing the devotees was like, he wasn't even chanting right according to his own tradition. So, I guess the point is that we need to chant in Parampara.
So I'm still not clear. First, it was the nature of the class was to point out that there's a standard and that pleases, and then these things came up to the top group in ISKCON, and then it was left off that it's still not concluded, so...
I don't know if it's left off, it's just maybe I don't know the conclusion, I can't give you the most update. I mean, I think that Rama, obviously we chant Hare Krishna and Hare Rama, we don't chant Ramo, you know, now whether we're going to judge someone's kirtan as when they're saying Rama is saying Ramo or Rama, I'm not making a decision on that. Keshava, then.
When Govinda Dasi was here last time, she was speaking about Prabhupada, and she said, Srila Prabhupada, when he heard some devotees chanting Ramo, and he said, I don't know where they get this Ramo from. I don't know where they get this Ramo. Prabhupada was upset.
Isn't there a verse somewhere that says pronunciation really isn't most important?
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. You know, there's Prabhupada himself said, Krishna knows who's calling him. You know, so how do we balance that? You know, that it's not hard and fast rules, and that, you know, so yeah, I mean, it's. Yes?
Me?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you. I thought there were no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. And if someone even mistakenly calls the name of Ram and he's calling for whatever at the time of death, some Muslim that he, you know, I mean, there must, that's all there too.
That's all there too, yes. Yes.
Well, that's one thing, that there is no hard and fast rules. However,
there may not be any hard and fast rules for those who are ignorant, but for those who of us who have been told what we should do by our spiritual masters, by our parampara, then we have to be conscious and we have to correct ourselves. We can't be foolish all the time and think, oh, okay, there's no rules and regulations for chanting. I don't need to do anything. No, but if we're told what to do, then we have to follow. At least we have to try to follow, let's put it this way. And not justify that there is no rules and regulations. Okay, anybody would like to?
Joshua has a
anybody would like to counter me?
Joshua, please.
I agree with Madhavati, but then it needs to be pointed out, organized, what Prabhupada said, like a book. Something, well, Prabhupada said this, he said this about kirtan, so that we don't have to look through all the pages or all the letters just to see that Prabhupada said don't pronounce it this way or do it that way. We need to be informed so that we can make those choices and understand.
Well, that's one reason why we have a, we're not going to go back and forth, maybe others can make some comment, but that's one reason why we have a kirtan standards committee. We have serious devotees that are experiencing kirtan. No. That can study these matters and come to some, you know, conclusion. And it's not always that easy, because again, are we questioning someone's sincerity? You know, they chant with a really different thing. That's one thing that we know Krishna recognizes is the sincerity. So how much do we become ritualistic about and rigid about this and question someone's sincerity if they're not doing it exactly that way? But then how much is taking advantage of that, you know, for people that have, you know, want to be a fancy kind of rock star kirtan person, and they may be doing anything in that thing. So we have to balance things out. Yes, please.
Prabhupada, About the coconut. So they say that there's before any event, there's when it happens, there's always something that breaks. So,
Mm.
They break the coconut first, and then they give it. They say that after you break that, that's for the demons to.
I understand that, but where does it come from? I think that's the question that is being asked. Mm-hmm. Oh, for her here. Yeah, that's all he's got to say. No,
but she is this from South India, you know. And if we look carefully at deity worship, like Sitaram Lakshmana, and the proper introduction is from Sri Sampradaya. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta didn't install Sitaram Lakshmana deities. But our founder Acharya introduced Sitaram Lakshmana, and he gave specific instructions like Washington D.C., right? The capital of the United States, and London, Bombay, he told the world how to do. Same thing, the worship of the Lord in Sri Lanka, this one's out in the Sri Sampradaya. So it's bona fide. Therefore, as we know, four Sampradayas, they're bona fide. Ramanuja Acharya, Srila Prabhupada mentioned so many times in his lectures, Ramanuja Acharya. And you're not going to find that type of devotion, especially Sitaram Lakshmana or even your Jagannath Balaram and Suvandra, or by the Major Papa, you have it over the world, like the Ramses, you know, never seen before. And there's no thing that you're not going to find it in the Hare Bhaktivedanta devotion, Jagannath Balaram and Suvandra or Sitaram Lakshmana. Only Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition is in Hare Bhaktivedanta. Under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled over India, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada introduced a lot of things, you know. So that small tradition, the coconut, you can break it, you have to break it, but they do in Janapur. So it's bonafide. Some of the ones they know, that doesn't mean it's not bonafide. You know, they just have to make some research. And it's good, they should have, like John Evers, or what's his name, the committee, you know, for the worship. And for ceremonies, it's different. The view was in North India and South India. It's very much different. Like astrology. And there's a Vedic science, astrology. And same thing with the view worship or different types of samskaras, they'll be different South India and North India. So it's very fun. There's one thing completely different is I wanted to mention Srila Prabhupada. You know, it's nice that your lecture about the Kirtan, how Srila Prabhupada says, I started myself chanting Hare Krishna in one park under the tree 3-4 hours every day, only in customers. So I learned by myself. You know, it's like the meaning, as we know. So that's why I emphasize everybody to chant, you know, Kirtan, to go out in the streets. He said, I started alone 2-3 hours every day under the tree, the carpets. He said, I made a compromise. I don't want my disciples to compromise, also in the peace. And he says, my guru made a compromise. So that's why I don't want nobody of my disciples to compromise in the peace, Krishna consciousness. So that's why it's good.
We talk about these things. That's why I bring it up in class today, not to say this is right or wrong or whatever, but we talk about it and we know exactly what we're doing. Prabhupada says in one point, at one place, and it came up recently because the deity worship ministry was making a presentation to the GBC, he said that for us, like in Gaudiya Vaishnavas, only three, Radha Krishna, Gaur Nithai, and Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra, that's all. But there's Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, there's Nishimadeva. So, anyway, whether there are hard and fast rules and hard and fast regulations, yes and no, whatever, I think, but the main thing is our mood has to be correct.
That basically comes out in discussion amongst the devotees. So anyway, I have some things I have to do this morning, so I'm sorry to have to end at this point. Thank you. Well, glory to Srila Prabhupada.